Appreciate your presence, even though our crowd is somewhat down this morning. You know, studying lessons like we did this morning in our Bible class, and this lesson, and some of the songs that we've sang this morning, all of it kind of ties together. Some say, well, how does that happen like that? Well, the only explanation I have is that we're all gleaning from the same book. And that ought to be an encouragement to each and every one of us, even 2,000 years after Christ has died. One of the things that he did while he was alive was that he frequently encouraged his people to follow him. In Luke chapter 9, verse 28, it says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." Certainly, he wants us to follow him. He's left us an example for him, for us to follow him, to walk in his steps. But Jesus wants us to decide the matter on our own. He wants us to face all of these things, all of the decisions, in full view of the consequences that might come our way. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 28 beginning. It says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with his 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace." He wants us to be like that, to make up our own mind whether we're going to follow Jesus or not. And of course, that in view of the consequences, if we fail to follow him, or if we choose to follow him, he wants us to be aware of all of those things. In fact, we know, because we've studied the Bible before, that in some cases, some of the disciples ceased following. Look at John 6, verse 66. It says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away?" Or in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 that we're all familiar with. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult the way that which leads to life, and there are few who find it." We could also look a little bit later in that same chapter, Matthew 7, about verse 21, which says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So, while many wonder about following Jesus, we know that some did cease following him, and likewise today some don't follow him even to this hour. And yet that's the message that we need to be preaching and teaching. We must accept the lesson, these verses ourselves and apply them to ourselves, but also have in our arsenal of weapons these scriptures and the idea that we can strive to help others by walking in the footsteps of Jesus, they too can help, can do the same. Basically, what we have in all of this really is just an attitude, or at least it has to do with attitude. Who is it that's going to follow Jesus? A man will not follow Jesus if he trusts in his own heart. Look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. It says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." So this is the man who, describes wisdom or despises wisdom and instruction. We see that over in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, while the fool does not. He is despised and despises wisdom and instruction. So if we see a person that's wise in his own eyes, you know, thinks too highly of himself, as the scriptures warn us about, and professes himself to be wise, have to be very careful in all of that. In Romans 1, verse 21, it says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Chapter 1 in Romans shows the deplorable conditions of the Gentiles in the first century and how far afield they were in all of their idolatrous practices and things like that. But this man who trusts in his own heart, he wants to reason things out for himself. He don't want any help. And usually when you find someone like that who wants to reason things out for himself, why, they take no thought of God in all of their considering of one thing and then another. It's always about the world and themselves. In fact, oftentimes no one can tell them anything. And they are what we oftentimes call know-it-alls. But we've all taught different individuals, sat around the table or in the living room, trying to teach someone the gospel of Christ. And, you know, I've had one lady tell me, and I've heard of many who made a similar comment, "I'd rather have a stack of Bibles. I'd rather have this feeling in my heart than a stack of Bibles." You know, they were relying on emotion and their own selves, and they're trusting in themselves and what they believe, whether it's backed up by Scripture or not. But another thing we see is that the person who will not follow Christ is the one who trusts in riches. Again, back to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage." And in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, it says there, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." So we see the danger of riches and the deceitfulness of false doctrines. All of these things choke out the word. In fact, it's in Mark chapter 10, verse 23 beginning, that we find that it's easier for a person to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Notice there in verse 23, it says, "Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?' And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and said to them, 'Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.'" That ought to spell out a warning. There's all kinds of, recently looked at, had an occasion to look at several commentaries and word studies about this subject here, about this eye of a needle and a camel passing through it. There's a whole gamut of things, of views that different individuals have. But when we look at the context and what Jesus is trying to do and show here, and it kind of gives us a hint of the idea that God has a sense of humor, and that this is probably to be taken literal. Not too terribly long ago, not too many decades ago, the idea came out that was talking about the door of the city, and within the door where there was another little door that a man could hardly make it through himself, much less a camel. However, most likely it should be more literal, in that it's ridiculous to think that a camel can pass through the eye of a needle, you know, and then think about he can go to heaven doing things like that. So we see a lot of people putting forth a lot of false, deceptive doctrines, and this is one of those places where we see that happening in various different ways. Another thing about a man following Jesus, and he will not follow if he desires to have the praises of men. In John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, it says, "For the world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So the followers of Christ are not of the world. Christ chose the disciples out of the world to be his faithful disciples, learners of him. And the godly, of course, will suffer persecution, as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3. "Yes, and all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." The true servant of Christ, the true servant of Christ is not out to please man. Look at Galatians chapter 1. It says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be the bondservant of Christ." And this is, of course, the Apostle Paul talking about all of the things that he went through, that he endured. The 2 Corinthians chapter 12 enumerates many of those things that Paul suffered for the cause of Christ. And so we see several things that a man will not follow Christ in a number of different ways. If he trusts in his own heart, if he trusts in riches, or if he desires the praise of men. We know, like Diotrephes in 3 John 9, Philetus and Hymenaeus in 2 Timothy. You know, just so many that want to pray, have the praises of men. And we see that that's not an open door into heaven. And yet there are many who practice those things. But the man who will follow God is the man who seeks, first of all, a better country. In Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." We're pilgrims. We're sojourners here on this earth. And that's all we are, serving God during all of the time that we have. And in that time, there are things that we need to do. First of all is to lay, since we're sojourners and pilgrims in a foreign land, why, we're going to seek a better country. And involved in that, we're going to lay up treasures in heaven. Look at Matthew 6. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then if we drop down to about verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So the one who's going to follow Jesus is going to, first of all, lay up treasure for himself. He's going to seek the kingdom of God first. And he's going to, of course, prepare himself that he might be eternally with God and Christ. In 2 Peter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." So, again, talking about laying up treasures on the earth is a dangerous practice. And those who want to follow Jesus are going to look carefully at all of these things. And God wants us, again, to go into this with an open mind that is based upon Scripture. Another thing, the man, if he will deny himself, is going to go a long ways in helping him follow the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him give up all and take up his cross and come after me." This is one of the hardest things there is for man to do. That is to give up self. Selfishness is a terrible sin that plagues this world. It plagues the church in places. But it's something that can be overcome. It's one of the most important duties that man has. First of all, he's going to learn from Jesus. Matthew 11 says, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So the child of God is going to deny himself. He's going to yield himself up to serve righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Paul was a man like that. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, the one who loves God is going to be pleasing to him. He's going to seek to do his will. And it's easy to see these things. We've sung songs about these things. Look at 1 John. 1 John 5, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus says and commands us to hear, to have faith. He commands us to repent of our sins. He commands us to make the good confession, and he commands baptism as well, all of those things. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The next chapter, verse 14, it says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. What more can we say about following Jesus? It's something that we need to go into with our eyes wide open, looking at those things, and looking at the consequences if we fail or are deceived. John chapter 14, verse 1, begins that chapter there. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's where we want to go, to spend eternity with our God in heaven. This morning, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, will you respond by simple trusting obedience as we sing the song that's been selected?